This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslan. Metal confronts what we'd rather ignore. It celebrates what we often deny. It indulges in what we fear most. And that's why metal will always be a culture of outsiders. That and more, after a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Napa Auto Tech's team of ASC Master Certified Instructors are conducting over 1,200 classes covering 28 automotive topics. To see a selection, go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. Well, you guys have been sending really good questions to my email. The email is mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com, and I don't know how to ignore them. I'm excited to answer them, but I will lead a little bit with why I opened with that quote, and that's from a documentary called Metal, A Headbanger's Journey by a gentleman by the name of Sam Dunn. And it's old. It's probably dated. It probably could get refreshed a little bit, but it kind of traces the roots of heavy metal music. And I wasn't going to just start in on relating heavy metal to automotive. It was really just to talk about, or at least bring up quick, this last weekend, Friday and Saturday. Friday, my son Christian and I, he's 10, went to the Summer of Loud festival, or tour, if you will, concert. If we'd have got there early, it starts at like 3 p.m. It's some bands that they're okay and all, but didn't really feel like sitting there for the better part of 7-8 hours, especially with a 10-year-old who, through no fault of his own, and I don't blame him, could get bored. So we end up getting there at about 5. We just timed that so accidentally perfectly that we got there just as the Devil Wears Prada is setting up. We got to see the Devil Wears Prada, obviously. That was followed up with Beartooth. And then we got to see I Prevail, which I was very excited to see them. And I got to level with you, like, these bands killed it. Just killed it. And I'll finish with the rest of the bands quick. It was I Prevail. And then my absolute favorite band, Killswitch Engage. It was worth the price of admission just to finally see them in concert with, I think, pretty darn good seats. It was wrapped up by Parkway Drive. I'm telling, all these bands just knocked it out of the ballpark. It was so good. They sounded so good. I don't know about you guys, if you've been to many concerts, and I don't want to imply that I've been to a lot of concerts. I haven't. But it's pretty rare that they sound so much like the recording. The recordings are usually so much better. The vocals are so much better. And especially when we're talking about this style of music, kind of a metalcore, where we're mixing up screaming or Cookie Monster, if you will, vocals with clean. God darn it, they did it. So these guys can go. They can flat out go and sing like that with no help. So yeah, Christian greatly enjoyed it. You're thinking you're at this pretty heavy metalcore concert that everybody's going to be, I don't know, I suppose, angry and selfish, self-centered type. And I think that's a lot of the stereotypes, kind of into their own worlds. It was anything but. It was such a good experience for Christian, who's, you know, at 10 years old, is not tall enough to see the stage. He's standing on the seats behind me. So now he's about my same height. And you have the people in front of us looking back and going, oh man, there's a 10-year-old. Let's part the waters a little bit and give them kind of a gap to see the stage. It was freaking awesome. And then after a good set or a good song and watching Christian, you know, rocking out, headbanging, whatnot, kind of running over and high-fiving him or giving him a fist bump and telling him that he rocks and that it's cool that he's there. Like, I don't know, man. It's almost touching. And it's cool because maybe more exciting was Saturday. Christian was on. Yeah, he's been practicing guitar, studying guitar with an instructor once a week for maybe the last 3 months, 4 months, no more than 6 months. I don't think it's 6 months. It's the Universal Music Center in Red Wing, Minnesota, of course. They kind of have a music festival or music fest, and this is their second annual, and they want it to become annual. And Christian was asked to perform, and so he kind of did a medley of Van Halen, which I don't know where he gets that from. If you know me, I'm not a big Van Halen fan. I don't know, the synthesizers, and it's a little more poppy than for my taste. But he did a medley of Eruption from Van Halen, Seek and Destroy from Metallica, good choice. He did Ain't Talking About Love from Van Halen, and then Master of Puppets by Metallica. And then he wraps it up with Careless Whisper by Wham. You got to say it right, you know, Deadpool. Wham. I don't know. I love the energy change, if you will, but you know, I think up to that point, it was a lot more folksy type music. And he gets up there, he's dressed all in black. He's got his long red hair. He's pale, sits down with his guitar. He's, like I said, he's 10. He'll be 11 here soon. And, you know, people are supportive because he's a little kid until he hits the first few notes of Eruption, and you could just see the change and feel the change of the, it was outside. So the venue, all of a sudden, like, oh boy, this could be really good. And then he got to the tapping portion of Eruption, and then you could start getting the woos and the whoops and hollering and yas from the crowd, which fed him. And then he tore into Seek and Destroy. And when I'm talking about this, he's really doing a lot of the intro riffs. So, you know, he probably played Eruption, probably most of that, which isn't terribly long. Seek and Destroy, you know, maybe a minute, if that. And Ain't Talking About Love, again, probably a minute. I don't think two. Master of Puppets, probably a minute in. And then Careless Whisper. But yeah, he just killed it. I'll probably put a video up on my podcast Facebook page just to check him out. Yeah, so pretty good weekend of music and heavy metal. And that takes me to the first email question that I get a kick out of because I've never thought about it. And I'll paraphrase some of these. Matt, you use a lot of lingo that I am not familiar with, and I'm not talking about automotive terms or technical terms, but you will say words or say things like put yourself over, putting them over, getting over, a pop, and various other. What are you talking about? What do these words mean? Okay, I stole them. I completely stole them from professional wrestling. Which makes it seem like I'm just this diehard fan. Like I've just got wrestling on all the time. Every Monday night, the family's parked on the couch, watching every pay-per-view. I really don't. I think I talked about this a little bit in a couple past podcasts where I really just appreciate the medium, the behind the scenes, and how this is entertainment. So I guess right off the bat, professional wrestling gets its start in legitimate fighting. Okay, if we go way back, well before my time and probably well before many of you listening's time, for sure, really, this started out with the carnivals, traveling carnivals, where you would have these men who would take on anyone in the crowd. And if you could last however long with them, you could win some money. This is how they made their living. And then they would start fighting each other. Like people start getting a name for themselves, right? And they'd go around and they'd have these big fights. I don't know if you'd call it necessarily MMA, but wrestling, boxing type fights. Well, after this goes on for a while, the fighters themselves realize that if any of them get hurt, they don't get paid. So they're going out there risking their lives and livelihoods and health to put on a performance to legitimately fight, to legitimately wrestle. In any given time, that could be the end, because the other person is, the opponent is trying to do the same thing. So they kind of come up with a scheme of predetermined, and the term would be a work. So if you respect the business, if you respect professional wrestling for what it is, entertainment, sports entertainment, you don't call it fake, because fake implies nobody gets hurt. Everything is gimmicked, if you will, to protect the wrestlers so that if they get thrown into that cage, the cage has enough give, they don't get hurt. If they get hit with a steel chair, the chair is somehow altered so that they don't get hurt. A bamboo stick is somehow gimmicked or altered so it doesn't hurt. The punches never land. The kicks never land. The falls to that, the mat, even from the top of the, you know, from the top rope, it's a big cushion and it's kind of a soft fall. And it turns out that's not the case at all. The rings themselves do have give. Don't get me wrong. There's springs under there. There is give, but they really don't have a bunch of padding under there. It's not like a trampoline or even a mattress. The risk of injury is extremely high. To respect the business, you don't call it fake. You call it a work. The storylines, the ending, who's going to win is predetermined. A lot of the moves that they're going to do, the spots, if you will, they call them spots. High spots being like a high risk type of a, or an exciting move, high risk move. Those are kind of worked out and sometimes practiced. Not all the time, sometimes. Sometimes practiced. Nowadays, more than ever, everything's scripted. The entire match is usually scripted pretty tight. It probably not so much with more of the veteran wrestlers, the Randy Ortons, the John Cenas. Those will probably be called in the ring, meaning one of the wrestlers is going to be kind of the director. And that's how things were forever. Probably until a WrestleMania? I'm pretty sure WrestleMania with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. Randy Savage scripted that match. And in most people's mind, that is the best match that's ever been held, or one of the best. You know, definitely on a Mount Rushmore. Completely scripted. Napa Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in Napa Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with Napa Auto Tech Training. a lot of the terms come from like the carnival world, and also like they had to keep the secret. They had to keep what they called kayfabe. They had to suspend reality. They had to make it seem like what they were doing is real. And they took it very, very serious, right? That one wrestler, something Schultz, smacked the crap out of John Stossel. John Stossel kept calling wrestling fake, and Schultz finally had enough and belted him a few good ones to the head, giving him a concussion and all that. But that's kayfabe. That's protecting the secret. Wrestling was a work, but they wanted all the fans to think it was real. And if somebody got over, that meant they got popular. And if you were putting yourself over, you were doing things to try to make yourself popular or get yourself in good graces. So a lot of times I think I say a lot, I don't mean to put myself over. That's true. Like, I generally don't try to speak very highly of myself. I'm not necessarily saying I talk crap about myself, or if I do, it's hopefully for more comedic effect. But I generally don't speak very highly of it because it just sounds arrogant. So much so, I think sometimes it almost comes off arrogant just in that it's deemed sarcastic. I think Steckler was on and kind of had said that once, that he thought I had tons and tons of self-confidence because of the way I talked down was just almost fake. The opposite of that, I guess, of going over is getting heat. Getting heat is just a way of saying, evoking a probably a negative reaction, anger, something of that nature, where trying to get the crowd to hate you. So I think those are like the main terms I catch myself using. Yeah, off the cuff, those are the main ones. I know I say put myself over quite a bit, or get put over, which I guess, to finish that thought also, to get put over also, or to go over, I should say, if somebody goes over, is that's when they're selected to win. So you know, two people are going to have a match and they'll just say, hey, wrestler number one, you're going to go over. It's the other wrestler's job to put you over, make you look really good. But the general idea is both performers make each other look really good. So they'll each get their stuff in, which is get their moves in, and try to make it look good. Make it look worth defeating that person. And also make it look reasonable that you just got beat. Hello, Matt. Longtime listener. Thank you. What are the rules in your shop for music? We have one. No country music. Just kidding. I wish. Due to the compartmentalized nature of the shop, meaning a lot of the bays are separated. So my area, quote unquote, my area is all flat, and I could probably fit about five cars in there. Just next to me is the alignment room, which has a four-post hoist in it, surrounded by walls. My area is surrounded by walls. There's a walkway, really just a cutout, if you will, a doorway with no door opening, also connected to my area, if you will. And that's, you know, kind of the main shop area, if you will. And that has four hoists in it. You could fit six cars in there pretty easy. Just two of them would block the exit for the other four. And then through a walkway or a doorway, if you will, there is another area that's got two hoists. You could probably fit three cars in there. The one car would block those two. And then we have one more area with a hoist in there, and also has like the tire machine and balancer, a big press. We have a pretty good size dock or dake press. Because of the compartmentalized nature, everyone kind of has their own stereos, if you will. Some of them are more bookshelf. Some of them are really more like home stereo setups. Everybody kind of listens to whatever they want to listen to, and knock on wood, everyone kind of gets along, you know, because it's my area. It's always my music. But everywhere else, I think they take turns, and yeah, sometimes they blare that stupid country. Ugh. I don't know how you guys do it, man. I know I should like it just because it's so American. I can't do it. But they'll play that. They'll play. I mean, one day they had 50s, or I should say golden oldies. And I thought that was pretty cool. And they've had poppy stuff sometimes, I think, almost to amuse themselves. So, yeah, we really don't have any rules. Another big thing is because the walls are pretty well insulated, the clients can't hear the music. So they could have, you know, whatever, the heaviest of metal, death metal, gangster rap, comedy albums that are very blue, and the customers would never know. So we really just don't have any rules when it comes to music. But if there was, we would only play both kinds of music, heavy and metal. Next question. Is your shop air conditioned? I'll just paraphrase that. Yes, we air conditioned last year in the middle of summer. This is the first like full summer we've had it, and it's unbelievable, the change. It is unbelievable. The thermostats are all set for, I think, 72. Depending on where the thermostats are located and how things play out, sometimes you get something warm near a thermostat and then artificially lowers the temperature. But years ago, on those really 90-something days, 100-something days with a high humidity, and that's Minnesota has a fair bit of that. I guess I wouldn't put us up with Florida or anything when it comes to humidity, or Houston, but we get a fair bit of it. It's more than most people would expect in Minnesota because they think it tops out at about 60 throughout the year. We regularly are in the 90s, high 90s. We'll hit the hundreds. I don't know if we will this year, but usually it's the humidity is attached, and you would just see the energy levels plummet at about 2 p.m. They're just wiped. And you try to, you know, maybe get in early, have everybody come in at 6 in the morning, and then work till 2 o'clock. But it's just right around that afternoon, just being in there and having that heat setting on you. And to be honest, when it's a 90-something day, when you start out at 6 in the morning, it ain't that much cooler. It's still that thick, heavy air, and you got a fan blowing on you, and it's blowing thick, heavy, wet air at you. The air conditioners have changed everything like that. The attitudes, the shop morale is crazy good. Production stays high or normal, which is way higher than it was. And the thing is in many cases, summers are our heyday, probably spiked with AC work. But for many things, vacationing, all that, people are fixing up their cars. So summers tend to be higher than others. Not consistently, like we've had big Decembers and big Februaries and stuff like that. But, you know, as a rule or as a whole, generally, summers are a big bump. And now they're even bigger bump with production levels staying where they're at. And then also just everybody's nicer to be around. I got to level with you. And I will quote a competitor up the road from us named Matt that when I asked him about their AC unit in their shop, he said, if anything would ever happen to it, we're going to get a bigger one. That is what I would tell you. If you can do it, if it's reasonable, and I don't know what would make it unreasonable, short of your shop has zero insulation, zero walls, I just can't think of how it doesn't pay for itself in production and just shop morale. It's another thing, like just that other thing with talent attraction. They find out the shop's air conditioned and, oh, by the way, you pay well and have benefits and it's well lit and well equipped. And, oh, the boss and manager are pretty laid back and they help you. It's just that one more thing to come work there. So I really, really appreciate the emails. There are more here I could rip through, but looking at the time here, I know I spent a fair bit of it bragging about my kid and our trip to Somerset, Wisconsin for the Summer of Loud, but it was a blast. And honestly, we fight stereotypes in our profession and all those concert goers and the artists themselves, they have stereotypes. And then you get there and you meet people and interact and you're just around and you find out it's not earned. So not deserved. Same with us, the vast, vast majority of us. So all you can do is keep doing the right thing and keep being yourselves, and it'll work itself out. The stereotype will die. And that's how I will leave you. Thank you again for listening. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network, which needs to mention includes such shows as Business by the Numbers, as Speak Up, as the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast, and the Weekly Blitz. And let's not forget Carm's Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. So get a chance to check some of those out. I'm sure you'll love them. Or some of them. You know, that Speak Up one, that's a tough one. I kid. I should cut the guy a break. He's such a nice guy. And here I am just incessantly ripping on him. He doesn't deserve it. A little bit of some of it, most of it. But definitely check him out. And again, thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network. Thank you to Napa Auto Tech Training for sponsoring. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.